Harris tried to think herself into the enemy's mind. Assuming that Hearn had told the truth as she saw it, the Benignity commander believed there were three hyper-capable ships near Xavier, and an obsolete defense escort with no FTL drive. A cruiser, the most dangerous, commanded by a Serrano, a name they should know. A patrol craft, whose new captain was far enough down the table of officers that he might not even be listed in the CH database. Certainly, there was no combat command listing for him. And an armed yacht, whose real capabilities Harris had screened from Garavay's personnel. She had told Hearn that she expected a Benignity attack in a few days, certainly within 10 local days. In other words, the Benignity commander would expect them to be looking for trouble, but not necessarily on full alert yet, particularly not after a hostile takeover of the ships. Hearn would have transmitted her assessment of the situation, but her main concern had been to escape. She certainly hadn't stayed around to answer questions. On the bridge, four clocks were running countdowns. Kutsudis' estimate of when the C-8 ships could get reliable scan on them, Kutsudis' estimate of when standard fleet scans would have shown the C-8 jump point exit, the scan delay display, and the real-time clock which her own crew would use for its timing of maneuvers and firing. Kutsudis pointed at the yacht's icon.
She's jumped. You know, I thought Levati would pass out when you jumped her that close to Navern. What did you do to that hull?
Ask me no questions.
At some level below current processing, Harris was distantly aware of other gears ticking into alignment. Amazing how all those unauthorized and illegal changes to Sweet Delight now made sense, in light of her pretense to have been on undercover assignment. She was going to be really angry if it turned out her Aunt Admiral had diddled with her memory, and she only thought she'd been forced to resign.
I always knew Elblo was a genius. Him and Janice and Kinvenard.
And you. Don't be greedy. I envied Levati for years.
It was mutual. Ah, she's back. Her, third incarnation, it is. The one from the Guernsey.
Speaking of geniuses, I think Oblo would emigrate in a flash if they didn't have such stringent rules on personal weaponry.
Harris watched the screen. The old Grogan now occupied the approximate volume of space where the yacht had been, and its beacon reported that it was the yacht. Although of different shapes, they had similar mass. Light hours away, the yacht curved around the largest chunk of rock in this section of the rock ring, the remains of a small planetoid that had come apart eons before. It still showed on Vigilance's scans, but from the angle of the CH flotilla, it should have appeared briefly, as if it had darted out to get a clean scan or tight beam message, and then gone back into hiding. Vigilance itself bored out at half the maximum in-system drive acceleration, as if in cautious pursuit of Despite.
We would be cautious, because we would worry if Despite had an ally out there, something Garavay didn't chart. He didn't even drop temporary mines, did he?
Her new weapons first looked up.
No, sir. He said there was no need to cause a problem for incoming commercial traffic. It would cost too much to clear later, and no beacon leeches either. Well, that's standard, but we just thought he was in a snit to be sent out here away from Third Ward HQ when all the excitement was going on.
He didn't want any clever amateurs on Xavier to pick up a warning.
Harris wondered what excitement that had been. Something else she didn't have time to pursue.
They might have us. Another hour and we'll have to assume they do.
The Benignity flotilla, knowing exactly what to look for and where, would see them as soon as the limits of their technology made it possible. The FR vessels could be presumed to divide their attention in more directions. They might not notice the distant flotilla at first if they were looking elsewhere.
How's our angle?
Well, it's close, sir. If they believe that we believe Despite is leading us straight to them, then we could miss a signal, for a while. But the normal cone would pick it up as a primary signal.
And their insertion barrage?
There's nothing between us to cause detonations before we run into it. And the drive should be off by now, real time.
Time passed. Harris had walked most of the ship by now, letting the crew see her. Dangerous, but necessary. If they were going to fight well, they had to know who commanded them, one of the textbook rules that actually seemed to work in the real world. They were busy. She had told her officers to use whatever training drills they could to get the crew up to peak efficiency. That included rest and food. She herself had left the bridge for a hot meal and a short nap in the captain's quarters, with Janice keeping watch outside. Now she was back on the bridge, restless as always in the last minutes before action.
We should be noticing them now.
Harris glanced over, and his screen flared as something blue. The enemy icons rippled, their confidence limit markers spreading out. Kutsudas hunched over.
Damn! They blew some of their own barrage screen. They really want us to see them.
The Benignity hates uncertainty. It must have been driving their commander crazy when he didn't seem to notice them.
The Vigilance's screens flicked on at full power, as Harris had planned, and weapons brought all boards hot. Harris had given the orders hours ago, and so far all was going as planned. They were far enough from Xavier now to jump safely. The cruiser popped in and out, a standard maneuver, slipping back out with a lower relative velocity. Not a standard maneuver. The low V exit on a very short jump meant minimal blurring of scans on exit. Now the scan lag, with Kutsudas' special black boxes, was less than 10 minutes.
Got him again. Captain, they've brought the heavies with them.
So we expected. Let me see the data.
The CH ships had their beacons live. They were not pretending to be anything but what they were, an invading force. And they were in more danger from each other if they went blank. Harris recognized the classes, but not the individual ships, whose names meant little to her. She knew the Composer class was usually named for composers, and she knew Paganini. But who was Dylan? Or Zamfir? Not that it mattered. The Benignity cruiser was a third again the mass of Vigilance, and thus could mount more weapons. Three cruisers meant impossible odds. Assault carriers held atmospheric shuttles, assault troops for groundside action if needed, and the components for an orbital station that would serve a larger fleet later. Two of these were more than adequate for assault on a planet with Xavier's population and defenses. And the final two ships, much smaller killer escorts, had the maneuverability the others lacked, along with the firepower of an RSS patrol ship. Which meant Harris's meager force would have been outgunned even if Despite had stayed. Which meant staying was suicidal. The best she could hope to do was delay the invasion long enough for the RSS to defend the jump points exiting this system. So much for complete confidence in her decisions. She could still run, legally, logically, but not as Harris Serrano.
Those two we thought were lagging are farther behind. Not their usual formation.
A new trick?
The Benignity weren't known for minor innovations like trailing a ship or so from a standard formation. When they changed radically, usually because new technology provided new opportunities.
A precaution. What class?
One cruiser, one killer escort. The cruiser's really dropping back. It must have come out of FTL with low relative velocity.
Gotta be a feint. I wish we could eavesdrop.
Admiral Straussi, the drive continues unstable. If the Admiral wishes, it can be confirmed.
What do you want to do about it?
We're still losing power. If it drops much more, we can't support the weapons.
In other words, they would be slow, unarmed, helpless. Fat sheep in the path of wolves. Admiral Straussi allowed himself a moment of gloating. He hadn't wanted Paolo along, and this whole mess was ultimately the fault of the chairman. But experience suggested that the chairman would not be the one whose neck felt the noose. At the least, he must conceal his gloating.
Captain, I apologize for my earlier remarks. I am sure you would not have missed such a major problem in your drive. Have you considered sabotage?
Yes, sir, I have.
There are those who oppose this mission, Captain. I will make sure that no blame accrues to you for your ship's failure to participate in this action. And I'm sorry, Captain, but I cannot jeopardize the invasion for your ship alone.
Of course not, sir.
As he'd expected, Paolo didn't want to appear cowardly. Perhaps he wasn't.
Now, as one man of honor to another, may I suggest that you could do us great service by conserving power for your weaponry, even though that places your ship in greater danger.
It was not a question, and not quite an order. They both would understand. Zamfir was doomed, but it might kill a Familia ship with its death.
It would be my honor, Admiral Straussi, if the Admiral has specific suggestions.
I trust your judgment, Captain.
And that was that. Let the boy figure it out for himself. And if he killed that pesky Serrano, Straussi wouldn't mind a bit recommending him for a posthumous medal.
The Serrano Legacy, Winning Colors, is continued on the next CD.